Hello and welcome to episode 143 of Duelist Community Raw. I don't know what to say. There's nothing to say. Here's an intro to an episode of Duelist Community Raw that I kind of just said, and it was a fun one. Felt like a very, very long time, and that's all I'm gonna say.
I think that's the most valuable thing that you could say. That said, enjoy the episode. It's a Monday morning. It's the last Monday until the Virginia Beach retreat, and I am feeling good. Feeling good for a number of reasons. You know, it's because I went through, as I said previously, a bunch of changes in my life for a long period of time, and I'm starting to kind of get not a familiarity with them, but less bitching about them, I guess, is the point. Is I'm not thinking about them as much, and so there seems to be less resistance. It's not so much that anything has gotten easier. It's just that I'm not worried about it as much. I'm just doing it rather than thinking about it, and then it tends to play out. And I think that's great. But this retreat, I think, is going to be the first one where I'm not going into it deliberately putting things from my own life kind of on the back burner to be at the retreat. As much as I'm there at the retreat and present and absolutely involved with what's going on, there is always this, when I get home, I'm going to have to deal with such and such, right? Or there is this other thing going on in my life that this retreat is giving me a break from. Yay. And that is one thing that is nice about the retreats. But I don't feel like I'm necessarily going to be going to this retreat with the same mentality that I have been, frankly. I feel a lot lighter going to this one. And I find it really interesting that that's the case, given that in the last week, I have had two people actively online just going at me and having the best time about it. And what's really interesting is that it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I've been fascinated by the fact that these people are taking shots at me left and right. And it's not like it's easy to listen to somebody calling you a narcissist and going at length about how you're a narcissist, except for the fact that I recognize everybody's on the spectrum of narcissism. I recognize it's just self-absorption. Like, it's not an insult if you recognize, yeah, okay, there's a part of me that's in there for sure. Right? But you're taking that, you're looking at it, you're honestly sussing through it. You're taking it as an exercise in self-reflection rather than, oh God, this is happening, I need to react. And it gives you the opportunity to just recognize, you know, there's nothing to protect. I mean, people are going to think a lot of different things about you in your life. A lot. Doesn't mean that it's you. You're going to think a lot of things about yourself. It doesn't mean it's you either. You're going to think a lot of things about your life. You're going to think a lot about how you can deal with it and whether you're dealing with it well, whether you're going to continue to deal with it well, whether you've dealt with it well. You can do all of that. But the fact is, you don't know. And that's true for me, too. And, you know, that was one thing about the Netherlands retreat that really hammered that home. I didn't have a fucking clue about anything that was happening at the Netherlands retreat for so many reasons. I didn't speak the language, never been to the country. I was so totally outside of everything that I had ever known that I was really face to face with, you got to pivot now. In a way that, frankly, I hadn't been for quite some time. And I really enjoyed it for that. And I really enjoyed the follow-up trip to Paris after that, where I knew even less, because that was fun. But it was a great exercise in just reminding myself, like, right, I don't need to know. I just need to pivot. I just need to roll. I just need to continue on and stop assuming that anything I assume about this, about what I'm doing, how people perceive me, any of it is reflective of truth, because maybe none of us know. Maybe it's entirely possible that that's the norm. None of us know where this is going. None of us know how we're doing. None of us know how anybody else sees us. And none of us know if how they see us is based on anything real. And so we're just left in the unknown. And it's feeling really light in a lot of ways. And of course, it is absolutely buoyed, and I have to admit this, by the community. By the community of individuals Not the community as a whole, because that frustrates the fuck out of me. But the community of individuals, the individuals out there that are doing the work to make the community possible. The community is not so much something I celebrate, but how many people are in there living a life of their own? That I celebrate. I do recognize that. I do recognize that there are a lot of people who are grudgingly called part of the community. They're like, yeah, all right. You know, and maybe they don't go to Discord. Maybe they don't join the Patreon groups. Maybe they don't, you know, join the free groups every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time, just for the quick plug. Maybe they don't do that. Maybe it's just them at home working on their own lives. But those ripples are real. That person is making a change in changing themselves. And that's what the community is. It's a community of one. Because without that person making those ripples, this wouldn't continue. All the ripples matter. All the ripples matter, and they've always mattered, which is why it's always mattered for me for the last half of my life. And it's all led to where I am now. So if you're out there and you're wondering, well, I'm not talking to people. I'm not having this conversation. I'm not writing books. I'm not, you know, making videos on TikTok. I'm not getting into the deep, insightful stuff with my friends and relatives. How am I making a difference? You're making a difference just in being you. You're making a difference just in asking the question, making less assumptions, being more reasonable. You're making the difference in that it's a difference to you. And that's it. That's the community. You and every one of you that I'm talking to. It's amazing. It really is. Because again, it's not about the collective. It's about recognizing that the collective and the individual are one. And it's not meant to be this massive weight. And it isn't feeling that way. I just wanted to communicate that quickly. I'm stoked for Virginia Beach. I'm excited. I did want to throw out one more thing. We actually had somebody take advantage of that coupon code the other day. Very grateful to the person who was able to donate that amount so much. That said, there's like one ticket left, I think. One or two tickets left for Virginia Beach. So we decided we were going to match the amount, and we announced that on Patreon the other day. So if you'd like to take advantage of the coupon code, there can be only one, and come and join us in Virginia as of Thursday. I know it's not far away, but if you happen to be in that part of the world, then definitely think about it. Definitely join us, because you can use that code in combination with your Patreon code. So if you're a tier 3 supporter, you can save like $700. If you're a tier 2 supporter, you can save $500. So it's going to be like the cheapest way to come to a retreat for a while. And it is our last East Coast retreat for a while.
Yes, I'm likewise very, very excited for it. And if you are able to be in the area and get there in a reasonable amount of time, then I would recommend hopping on that coupon code, because it's not going to ever get a whole lot cheaper than that. But yeah, I had a lot of different thoughts. I'm having a lot of different thoughts recently, and in regards to ripples, I guess first, there's this desire to know what the ripple is, despite never being able to, and like measure the ripple, and if it's not able to be measured, it's like, oh, well then it's not worth doing anything, but you're always doing stuff. But there's this, you know, feeling of, I got to be able to measure how I'm doing, what I'm doing, despite never, ever, ever being able to. Even when you think like, oh, this ripple had this sort of impact clearly by these standards and this way of measuring this sort of thing, but it's never actually the case either. And so you just being you and just not holding on to quite so much, or not being so, not running from uncertainty quite so much, being willing to sit in it, almost has a natural way of things playing out. And just being willing to look and continue taking things in and not immediately jump to feeling like you can be sure about what's going on. Because, you know, another thing I've been kind of thinking about sort of is just how much thoughts, as much as we never actually know, it's like there is still things to look at And keep in mind, you know, like there's this sort of, and we were talking about this yesterday with, you know, spirituality and stuff, like you're not your thoughts. Example, it's like, that's the case for sure. But it doesn't discount the reality of them giving you context and potentially seeing perspectives that you haven't before or recognizing something. Because when you're willing to be a little less sure, a little less certain, a little less, you know, habitual with the things that you do and just locked into, you know, the habitual components of your life, you start to see more, be aware of more. And so the thoughts start to shift and become different. And, you know, you start to see things a little bit differently. And the thoughts that you start, you know, hearing or listening to, it's not like there's nothing there, basically. And I think, and I got to admit, like, I'm feeling a lot of different things, but I'm likewise feeling more relaxed in general, but also very much more aware in general. And I think those two go hand in hand. And as you start to be more aware of, you know, the world, sure, but just yourself, your own tendencies, that's reflective in the world, but it's reflective, you know, the world's reflective of you in a sense. And so you start noticing the back and the forth, and it's not to say, you know, it's not to say it's something happening separate from you, but there's not something you can necessarily do for sure about anything outside of you. And it's not to say you can do anything for sure about yourself either, but there's more of an ability to do things about yourself. And that's the only thing, you know, you ever got to do. And so anyway, yeah, it's funny how we can fall on the side of like, oh, thoughts have no meaning. There's no certainty in any of that. And it's like, yeah, that's the case, but that doesn't discount that there isn't anything there, because that's another certainty. It's like, I know for sure that the thoughts have no credence whatsoever, and I don't know them for sure, but they are always giving context, and there is a mechanism to thought, again, that doesn't guarantee anything, but you know, there's things there to recognize but not necessarily dwell on, and then, you know, they inform how you live your life and what you do, and self-honesty. You know, once you start being honest with yourself, it's hard to, you know, not keep looking at that. Anyway.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of putting it. Yeah, well, they're just perspectives, right? Like that's all thoughts are. They're just different angles of the infinitely faceted thing that you are. And you can look at it in infinite different ways, and that's all thoughts are. It's like, oh, which angle are you going to choose now? But that said, because that's all we're ever exploring, this is what we mean by self-knowledge, is you're looking at yourself from all kinds of different angles. That's why we get more context through different experiences, because now we start thinking new things because we're in different experiences, and those are different angles. And so that's what our life is, start to finish, one good hard look at whatever the fuck existence is from as many angles as we can. But that brings up the question of the difference between thought as process and thought as action. Right, because thought as process happens on its own. This is one of the things I've recognized in my own life. It's like, thoughts come up. I don't go chasing them. Like at one point I used to think that I should sit down and think about things that weren't happening yet. Thoughts about things that haven't happened yet do happen on their own. And then you're like, oh shit, yeah, I gotta do that. Oh fuck yeah, right, I totally forgot about that. Or, oh right, that person had an issue with me. But then we take that and we turn that into speculation. Like we take the thought that happened as a process of us moving through reality, and we turn it into speculation about time and about ourselves and about everything else. And so now that's thought as an action as opposed to thought as a process. It's like we've hijacked what's happening because we didn't like it. Right. And instead of just letting it process, you know, like you can look at every thought without it bothering you at all. And all of them will inform you. This is why self-honesty is so important, because that allows you to look at the most terrifying thoughts that you hold on to, the thoughts that really make you feel shitty, and actually look at them without feeling shitty. Right? Like, that's why the practice of self-honesty has value, is so you can look at yourself and not actually feel like you're threatened by doing so. Right? Like, this is something that, and again, going back to the topic of narcissism, this is the reason that one of those people kept deleting all of their comments, was so that way there was no track record, that so that they could look at their own behavior. It wasn't about how other people saw their comments. It was about the fact that if they can't look back, then they can fabricate memories that continue to validate the way they want to look at themselves now. Right? So they don't want to be self-honest, which is why they don't like looking at past comments, because then they actually have to either get defensive off the bat. Nope, obviously you're just sick and deranged and blah, 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 blah. Or they have to read the comment in the same way that they would read it if it was coming from someone else. And that's it right there. You know, and that's where empathy comes in and all of that, right? It's just that connection, but it really just comes down to self-honesty, and it only happens when you're willing to look at the thing without being threatened by it. You know, same with empathy. You know, when you're willing to look at the fact that you're abrasive and insecure, you will stop being so abrasive and insecure. But you'll also empathize with people who are also abrasive and insecure. Up until then, you won't see it. Or you'll see it and you'll point it at them and you won't see it yourself. And so it's just self-honesty. Self-honesty is really like the important part of all this, because it's the part that nobody can tell you how to do. It's the part that nobody can teach you. There's no insights that will get you around it. Right? Like, you eventually just have to look at it and go, yeah, I can be manipulative. You know, yeah, I can be needy. Yeah, I can, you know, put myself before others. I can be self-absorbed. And it's important to recognize that, yeah, you can. Of course you can. We all can. And if you can't accept that you can, then you likely are going to do so because you're not willing to look at it.
Exactly. And so being willing to recognize and like admit all of those things, admitting it and looking at and seeing all of that, if it's been in denial for a while, then it's going to be uncomfortable when you start to recognize that. But then that gives you context, and then you're so much more aware of all of those things and see the tendencies, and see only because you've seen it in yourself or been willing to look at it in yourself. But it's interesting. With being self-honest and just how it starts to play out. And if you're not willing to admit any of those things, then you continue to do them, you know, and they continue to play out. Fuck, I had a thought about something before, and this is me. Okay, I'm just gonna run with this, because I've been dealing with that like the last couple days, just like a number of things, just the fucking, oh man, so many things, and like letting go, you know, like actually letting go. And I don't even know what I mean by that, because it's not even something at all necessarily, but it's so multifaceted, and I am so multifaceted that, you know, we like, it's like, I like to think it's a simple sort of thing. Oh yeah, just do this and do this. But everything informs it. And as you go, you know, you start to gain a little bit more context, become a little bit more aware of certain behaviors and actions and whatnot. But it's so multifaceted also that things play out, and maybe, and you never know how things are playing out versus what you're becoming aware of. And so, like, letting go isn't just of everything completely all at once. Like, for example, for me with, like, you know, lifting weights habit for a really long time, and like more or less have let go of it, at least to some degree, you know, don't have a gym membership right now. First time in my life in ever. And that then you know, that's a component of like feeling like I have control of how I'm viewed or how I'm seen, only because, you know, I'm judgmental of myself. And this reminds me of the thing I was thinking about before with older videos. You know, like when I have an older video and I judge that, it's like me judging myself from a couple years ago, but it's me judging a perspective or a point of view. And so if it were me seeing someone else, say that was someone else that I was looking at, because in a sense it is, I'm judging someone else right there. It's the same sort of judgment. Like we think, you know, being self-critical of certain things. When I judge myself right now, even it's the equivalent of me judging someone else, but I'm almost just like keeping it within. So I'm like, I'm hiding that, but really I'm being judgmental of anyone who reflects that sort of behavior almost. And now I'm like, I don't even know how I'm thinking about it necessarily, because like I am me, but I'm all of me, and I'm gonna stop because I know I see Ray talking there, and yeah, so those are some more thoughts.
So okay, so this is really important. Okay, so this is again where we take the difference between judgment and discernment. Okay, so you watch a video that you made several years ago, and immediately your brain starts comparing. And it's comparing how you speak now to how you spoke then, or at least how you perceive yourself to speak now to how you perceive yourself to have spoken then. Okay, so your brain starts comparing, and that's all it's doing. That's all it's doing until you value the identity, the idea of you that it's comparing. See, until then, it's just going through the process of comparing differences. Until you think those differences are a measure of value, it doesn't matter. You know, those differences are not a measure of value because everything is a spectrum, right? That's the beautiful part about that, is when you look back, what you're really seeing is still yourself, but on a different part of the spectrum, because everything's in transition all the time. So if you can't judge yourself for being where you were because you couldn't get to where you are now without being where you were, then that's the same. The same is true for everybody else. When you meet somebody who's totally self-absorbed, remember, it's important to remember it's a spectrum, that they're still in transition, that they're still moving through that spectrum. And this is why it's impossible to judge anyone, because what are you judging them as? Not having the potential to change? They are change, right? And the same is true. You look back at that and you're like, oh, but it should have been different. Yeah, it's on the way. That's the whole point. It can only get to where it is through trial and error, through the process of weaving back and forth, oscillating between self-absorption and selflessness. Everything is that spectrum. But you see, it's so interesting because our brain, again, is a comparison machine. It's all it does all the time, right? It just looks for differences and identifies them. But we take that as being superior or inferior. We look at the progress and we go, well, if I'm better now, then I was worse before. Instead of recognizing that you're not better or worse, you're just better or worse at doing that thing. Right? Like that's the whole thing, is that you've just gotten more familiar with yourself and the expression of that self. It's not that you've gotten better at anything. You're still the same self, right? You're still the same self, but you have to work through that process. And that's why it's really important to recognize that discernment is super useful. Discernment's going to happen over and over and over and over again. You are going to see comparisons between yourself and everyone and everything else. That's part of the beauty of duality. But at no point does that imply division, that somehow there's a difference in value. Somehow there's a difference in potential. Just in perspective, just in where we are in the spectrum. That's it. And if one thing always leads to another, then you cannot judge any part of that process. It's not like you could judge a seed for not being a tree yet.
And so if everyone's on that spectrum of change, you know, and no one is stagnant in themselves, like it's one, a lot harder to hold on to any conceptual idea of that seen as the spectrum, but it's also hard to pinpoint, you know, a judgment, because that, as you said, like immediately discounts the potential to change. Because if it's judged then, there's a discounting of the entire process from, you know, before that point to after that point. But when it is, you know, everyone is seen more as change, then it's really, really difficult to point to and say like, oh no, this was bad or wrong or up or down, or this is my assumption, you know, about this. And yeah. And so then it's just becomes, and everyone is just on this spectrum, like, and a fuckload of different spectrums, but also one spectrum at the same time, you know, from tension to relaxation, letting go to holding on, control versus uncertainty. And it's all kind of part and parcel with the culmination of all of the spectrums. And then it's like, you know, interactions have spectrums too. And it's like fucking everything has a spectrum, and you don't know any of them, but there's like a sensitivity you can have to them. Cause the spectrum is just, that's just a way to talk about this. You know, it's a conceptual sort of representation of this, but there's no spectrums anywhere. It's like outside of what's going on now. And now I'm like, fuck yeah, no, there's, I don't like, cause they're kind of arbitrary. There's a recognition of them and like discernment and whatnot, but you can never know any of them. Like, you can't know them, but you can have that sensitivity based on just actions. But like, so many of the actions are in response, you know, like actions like tension based, I don't even know what that means, tension based actions or selfish actions or whatever, are they're in response to something else. You know, it's almost always the case, or something that, you know, you want to avoid or you don't want to look at. And then, you know, that's why so much of the world is distraction. It's like distraction from ourselves, from, you know, the stuff we don't want to look at. And there's convenient ways to distract and then focus on that. And then, you know, you don't have to focus on the other stuff. You know, like someone who thinks of them a certain way, they take up, say, just golf or something, and now they get really into golf and their whole life revolves around golf, and it's measuring their game and comparing their game. And it's like all this stuff that's like very convenient distractions, because now they think about themselves as that. Or fucking, for me, doing social media is like, you know, another thing to then. And it's not to say, again, like, I'm not saying a right or a wrong or anything like that, but there's ways that we can like very conveniently, subtly sort of shift. And now I'm saying it like it's this thing that we're doing, you know, but like nothing falls on one side of the spectrum or the other. It's within a spectrum, and how you do it, or you like social media is a tool, for example, but it can be used in different ways. You know, it can be a way to kind of keep existence or experience at bay, you know, being on the internet. You know, it's like there's a buffer there. And so there's certain things or ways you can use different tools that exist on that spectrum, and they can, you know, they can be distractions from yourself, but it doesn't mean that they're not still doing things. So I don't know. I got like no organization in anything that I'm thinking about or talking about today, but I'm just,
you do, you know, there's a theme.
Yeah,
there's a theme. Okay. So which one do we tackle first? You remember once I said to you, oh, not once, several times, but it was a while back, that if you meet the Buddha in the road, kill it. Remember that expression? Okay.
Yes.
There comes a point when you recognize that you have to let go of letting go. The idea of letting go is not the letting go. See, then you're starting to do something again. You're trying to do something again. You're trying to put yourself in there, right? And you're just like, oh, I'm holding on now. Oh, I'm holding on. And so now you're looking for things to let go of, because you think that's the process, instead of it just being a process on its own, Right. And this kind of goes back to the social media thing. Like what you're saying is that you can get so lost in distractions that you're not learning from yourself. Of course you are. Of course you are. I mean, it's not the distraction itself that's distracting you. It's your willingness to try and hide from your thoughts within it. And you can only do it for so long before that starts to become uncomfortable and you recognize that you're doing it. And then you start to change because you are always going to go through the process of learning from yourself. Always. Right? It doesn't matter if you're distracted. It doesn't matter if you're blaming someone else. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's always you. You're experiencing. Hold on. Excuse me. And that's kind of the whole point. So you're always changing and you're always learning and you don't have to think about any of this at the end of the day, but it can be helpful to start thinking about some of this sometimes. Like, for example, when you're really caught up in your ego and you're really caught up in the idea of yourself and all of that fun stuff. And I can't reiterate this enough. The point isn't to always be on the watch for your ego. Like, by any means. Because that's fucking exhausting. That's as exhausting as maintaining your ego, except it's maintaining it behind a glass. So you can look at it. There it is. The ego. In its natural environment, you know, and it's just that you're still maintaining. It's not about that. It's about getting to the point where you recognize that the relationship you have with your ego is one that you comfort yourself with. It's just self-dialogue. That's all it is. You want to talk to yourself. Why do you want to talk to yourself? I mean, because the alternative is just being here. And sometimes that seems easier than others. You know, but that's only because over time we've trained ourselves to not, you know, just be here. We've had to think about everything. We've tried to fit in, blah, blah, blah. We've got all kinds of habits. You know, but the fact is that none of that is actually the problem. You know, there is no problem. It's just that we want to look for a problem. We want to look for a problem because then we have something to solve. And if we have something to solve, then we're making progress. And we're becoming more and we're on our way to, again, the promised land, right? Instead of just going, fuck, I can only do what I'm doing. And that's as simple as it is. I can only do what I'm doing. This is it. And then it's going to go somewhere else. You know, but we get so caught up in the fiction. We're like, no, one day, I'm never going to think of that ego again. Who's not? Right? Because it sounds like you're thinking about yourself. And that's the whole point. It's not about trying to get somewhere where you're not, where you're no longer entrapped by the ego. It's about just understanding why you make it, why it's there, what it does. You know, and it's just about time and attention and willingness and self-honesty and all of that. You know, but it's definitely not about, you know, being on some cerebral fucking mission to catch the ego in the act. I'm getting caught up. Yeah, you're going to notice that over time with sensitivity. At first, yes, absolutely, because you were never looking for it to begin with. You know, this is why I said, and I was really happy about this video, that the path to self-awareness can become a convenient way to escape the responsibility of self-awareness. Like, you can actually get so caught up in the journey to being more self-aware that you pass up self-awareness now. Like, you were just fine until you started looking for a reason you weren't aware enough. You were just fine until you started looking for parts of your ego that you hadn't dug up yet. You know, there's still more to face. Yeah, it'll pop up on its own. You don't have to go digging for it. And all you're doing is making more shit. And it's like, I got to go look for carrots, and you're throwing carrots in there. It's not helping, you know? So that's the end of the point, is that just allow the process to happen. Allow the process to happen. And this is why it's so important. In the same way, philosophy is the disease for which it should be the cure. You know, let go can become something you hold on to.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. So, cause like, who is, if I think about, you know, letting go of everything, hypothetically, like getting to this point of like, let go of all this stuff. And like, who am I thinking about that for right now? It's like for me, like for my experience to get better. And it's like, there's a selfish component to me wanting to let go that's causing me to miss how I could be maybe a little less selfish right now. And that's just it. Like, oh, fuck, dude. Like, and it's like, there can be such a fucking heaviness to that. Like, you know, looking at thing and being like, you know, despite having let go of certain components of stuff. And it's like, okay, where does that go? You know, that letting go, it's like, at what point? And it's like, you know, there's stuff there for sure. It's not to say that it's not like things have a way of playing out and shifting it, changing, but I've been just looking at all the things. It's like things that I'm still holding on to, and then judging myself, and then assuming that I should do that, but because like how I'm feeling right now is definitely because I'm still holding on to all that stuff. And once I let go of all of it, then I'll feel better right now. And it's like so entirely focused on me. And that's some of the discomfort when you're like, no, it's not. There's no problem right now. There's nothing wrong right now. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with like the point that you're at, what's going on. There's nothing. And then it's like, okay. So then there's nothing for me to look at. There's nothing to distract me from what's going on right now. And it's like continuing to just see what's going on right now, but not necessarily make assumptions or think that, you know, you're doing one thing or another thing or this or that. Cause, you know, I've become aware of a fuckload more things that I'm holding on to, dude. And I'm starting to get.
This is why you have time. This is the beautiful part about having time, is that you can get through. And I've said this before, you know, cherish your walls, because that's what makes you human. I mean, that's the whole point. That's what makes this journey so, so very interesting. You don't want to get to a point where you're fucking Jesus. Nobody wants to be Jesus, is what I'm saying. Because again, and I say Jesus kind of tongue in cheek, because nobody knew what Jesus was like. It just, if you're going to take an image of an ideal person with no attachments, completely let go, kind of on a cloud, glowing in white, that's really, you know, what we're all kind of shooting for. And that's the point, is we don't like the way that we feel right now. And so we shoot for enlightenment. And you can call it whatever you want. I mean, enlightenment's just a word, you know, lightning, you can a respite, a relief, a little less suffering, you know, the promised land, heaven, Shambhala, you know, any of those things. You can call it any of these things. It doesn't matter, right? But it's just that if we can get there, then I don't have to feel the way I'm feeling right now, right? Because I noticed something that just popped up that I didn't fucking like, which means there's more shit in there. And then we make it worse instead of just going, oh, huh. I still judge myself for how I talk to people. And then moving on. But instead, we're like, I gotta suss that out. I gotta dig that shit up. I gotta fucking fix that shit now. I don't like how that feels whenever I get into a conversation with somebody and I get nervous. I don't like that. You know, keep doing that. You know, that's really it. But we want to solve it. We want to go from nervous to not nervous. Now. And we think that if we can think our way there, that'll solve it instead of making it worse. And that's it, right? It's just that we want to get somewhere. We want to make progress. This is why I love that expression that if you meet the Buddha in the road, kill it. And it's because you will consistently put some type of fucking technique, strategy, concept, ideology up on a pedestal like it is the path to the promised fucking land, right? And it will change for a little while. You know, it's going to be God. For some time, for a little while, it's going to be the moment, you know, and then it's going to be control. Then might be identity, right? And each and every time you're going to be like, that's the problem. That's it right there. That's it. I got to watch for that, right? It's like, no, that's just another facet that you've been circling around that you managed to see. Okay. So the point isn't the facet. It's the circling around. It's the continuing to go through it. Because every time you come to one of these points, you're like, oh, fuck. I'm taking that seriously. But then you're like, fuck, I got to look at that more. Obviously, that's the problem right there. It's like, no, you got there by circling around the thing. Like, you're just getting more context. You're just getting more context. But we want to rush ourselves to a point where there's no more need for context. Then what? And what then? And what if this is all context? What if all of this is, again, and it's funny because you say it's not a spectrum, but everything's a fucking spectrum in duality. Everything. Find me something in reality that's not a spectrum. Anything. Because in the perspective of experience, it's all a spectrum. All of it. Right? Which means that even our current perspective of ourselves and our lives is a spectrum. Fuck, we could still be children in the process of self-awareness. Like, and here we are judging our past selves like, oh, look at me. I was practically a toddler. It's like, you're still in diapers. Like, you don't even know. You know, that's the whole point. So it's not about thinking about it. It's not about trying to measure where you are or how far we're going. This is the danger that everybody gets into when you start thinking about global change. Are we changing the world? Where's the evidence? And we don't see the evidence. We're like, ah, the world is fucked. It's all in your head. Like, it's all just your thoughts that you're like, yeah, that's it. And it's never it. It's never the promised land. It's never the actual only problem. It's never what you think it is. It's never, like, it's not never any of those things. But all of those things add context to reality, which is the only way you're going to get any degree of clarity, is through just experiencing more of yourself. Right? But there is no way out of that experience except through it. And then through it, your relationship with it changes. But we keep trying to change the relationship from the mentality we're in. Like, if I were to just sit here and analyze my life hard enough, from my current state of mind, I could achieve perfection. Despite the fact that the idea of perfection is based on my current state of mind, which is fucking up all my thoughts, right? So it really just comes down to the fact that I've just got to keep moving. I can't stop at any point and start going, because all I'm doing is basing everything I think on everything that I've known up until that point, or everything I've assumed up until that point. What if the next lesson is teaching me to question something that I've been holding on to an assumption for decades? What if the next thing that pops up all of a sudden shakes the whole fucking tree and changes everything I look at? Now, all of a sudden, my whole life is different. You know, this is why people who walk away from Christianity for a little while, they're like, what the fuck do I do? You know, if there's no God to guide me, what the fuck do I do? And they've got to learn a whole new way of thinking. They've got to learn a whole new way of existing in the world. You know, which is why they go through the process of deprogramming their conditioning. Right? And this is why a lot of ex-Christians, atheists now mostly, still feel and fear hell, right? Because it was put in there pretty deep. You know, regardless if you believe in heaven or hell or not, you still kind of wonder if there's a devil.
Yeah, it's certainly, they drill that shit home. And mine was with hell and stuff. It got drilled pretty good with that middle school I went to, but for the most part, it wasn't too bad. But all of it's still in there. And in moments, like you say, it's like, but what if it is the case? You know, it's like, what if I die and I do have, I haven't gone to church in quite a while. And what if I do burn forever? It's like, so your mind, you can come up with all of those things. And that point you said about, you know, well, what do I do? You know, when you're sitting in, you know, not knowing anything, like so much of the shit that we look to and focus on, like any belief sort of system provides us with, it's like it provides us with an answer to that. And that's all it's like everything circles around that right now, sitting in the middle of my room and I don't know what to do and I don't want to look at it myself. So I want to look around for what someone else has decided is the thing to do right now. Because if I were to sit and just sit there until I decided on something to do, then it would require me to be like entirely self-honest with like what I want. And then if you're more aware, it's like, why do I want it? And then when you become more aware of that, then it's like, oh, like, why do I want these things? And where is it coming from? And then it's like, you could cycle through all of this stuff and you won't even get to an answer, but you'll just get to things that make more sense versus less sense. And you'll start to see why you chose to do things. And there's so many things, dude, in my life that I'm starting to realize, like, we're just in response to that, you know, to that tension. And like, you don't even look at anything outside of that, then that tension, you know, or anything outside of getting that thing that you want with no regard for where it's coming from or why it's the case. But you start to get more context for that, and then those things don't make as much sense. But then the beauty is you start coming closer to realizing, you know, what do I want, not in a sense of like what I want as me coming from all this stuff of like just in response to tension, but like as me, you know, like what do I want for experience itself, and like what can I do right now about that? There's nothing specific, but just do it myself, and then things have a way, like there's such a natural way of things playing out when you're willing to just like, you know, take in more and be more, you know, whatever, and not even more necessarily, but just not make so many assumptions. Like there is very much a natural way of just like things that, you know, like I said before, like make more sense versus less sense based on a given perspective of yourself. But, you know, it's very habitual for me to come up with basically like come up with a list of like, these are the 100 things I have to let go of in order to achieve, you know, ultimate fucking peace or relaxation. And these are all the reasons that I'm not relaxed right now, and just got to start, you know, mowing through them one by one, by one, by one, by one. And it's not to say that there might not, and like I was saying before with thoughts, it's like, it's not to say there's zero truth with that, but it's not the way you're thinking about it. It's not in the process of what you're doing. And right now it's another convenient way to feel like you can be sure of something and distract yourself from, you know, reality right now.
Yeah. And this will help, because if you do ever create this list in your head, you know, list of the top 100 things that are stressing me out, just make sure you put number one, this list. Because that's very much the case. And that's it. It's just recognizing that it's just here. Like you just, everything's going to unravel over time. But it really does unravel from here. Which means that if you're stressed, breathe. Pay attention to where you are. Focus on the feeling of your skin. You know, focus on the feeling of the ground underneath your feet. And literally ground yourself. Right? But that's it, because those are real things. Now, it's funny because you'll do that for a couple seconds and immediately go jump right back into your head. Is that all you can do, is a couple seconds? Because that's the practice. How much time do you spend in reality? How much time do you think about spending time in reality? And that's why it changes. It has to go from being cerebral to being sensitive, right? Because the cerebral thing can become addictive. This is why in Power versus Force, when he's talking about that chart, you'll notice that reason, the intellect, like the highest place that the intellect has in that chart isn't even halfway up. And it's because it's not connection. It's not joy. It's not empathy. Right? It's just advanced problem solving. And you get better at it the less you put yourself in the way. That's the hardest part about it. That's the trick about the intellect, is that the less you're in the way, the more intelligence you tend to reflect. But then it becomes even more tempting to gauge yourself according to that intelligence. And so you're always going back and forth between using all of the tools that are allotted to you by virtue of not having your ego in the way, but then defining your ego with it. You know, which is why Einstein was a fucking genius. But when it came to his personal life, when it came to the people who loved him, when it came to the people that you know, were his friends and whatnot, he was kind of a dick. Right? And it's because he was incredible when it came to envisioning things, to getting out of the way and actually putting reality in his scope. But when it came to living his own life, satisfying his own satisfactions, catering to his own ego, doing all that other stuff, he didn't practice that at all. He used his intelligence to cater to his ego. because it's very easy to do so. And so beyond that, again, what do you have? Here and now. That's what you have. You have here and now. And in here and now, you're going to go through things, you're going to experience things, and you're going to go, holy shit, there was a consequence there. Oh, I'm tense. Ah, oh, I see that. I was worried about how was I projecting. I was projecting into the future there. Okay. And that's all you do. That's all you do. You're just like, I was projecting into the future there. And then maybe a memory or two will pop up and you go, huh, I did that there too. And then you just move on. Like, that's all you do. Like, I can't stress this enough because it's so tempting to want to continue chewing. It's kind of like Lay's potato chips. Do you remember the old advertisement? I bet you can't have just one.
I've heard of it. I don't know if I ever saw it.
I think it might have been Lay's. It could have been something else. But the whole point was you can't have just one potato chip. Like, if you ever have one potato chip, you're going to sit there wanting another one. Like, immediately you're going to want to grab another potato chip. And that's the problem, is that as soon as an insight comes through, as soon as you're like, oh, fuck, I caught myself. And you feel a little less stress as a result. You have a little moment of like, oh, my God. You can't just let it be, though. You got to go looking for the next one, right? And that's the problem, is that you immediately fuck up the moment of calm you just had by trying to get more of it. And this is what compulsive gamblers go through. Right? They've got to chase that high. They've got to chase that happiness. This is why it's so hard to stop. Right? Well, the same is true when it comes to looking for insights. The same is true when it comes to looking for that next bit of relief, that next bit of, that's where I'm catching myself. That's where I've made my life difficult. Because you think by going through it quicker that somehow your life is going to change in tone. It's not. Because all you're doing by trying to go through it quicker is making more fucking problems. So you just let it happen on its own. It was Pringles. Thank you. Appreciate it, Jay. It was Pringles, not Lay's. But the point is that because we have a moment of relief and then immediately we become afraid of losing it, we start looking for the next cessation that we don't have to look for if we didn't immediately start to strangle that moment of relief. But it's the fear. It's the fear that drives us to find another solution that's creating the problem. And we don't need to. Just go through the process. Just recognize moment to moment to moment. This is the process of you unfolding. And the only responsibility you have is here and now. Here and now to how you feel about yourself. So if you're beating yourself up, start there.
Yeah, and oh, goodness gracious. And the thing with the Pringles is, real quick, it almost like you can't even eat just one because they don't even, like, trying to pick up one Pringle is maybe one of the hardest things to do. Unless now I'm thinking about it, a strategy could be licking your fingers and, like, see if it sticks. And then you could, like a crane, but then, you know, you got to turn it over. So, anyway, it's...
I just want to toss in really quickly because we have... we have ChatGPT do our timestamps for these episodes now. I'm really looking forward to it picking out discussion about Pringles or discussion about like the efficacy of licking one's fingers while eating Pringles or something, because it's great that way.
Oh, for sure. It'll just like a nice little 20 seconds, like strategies for picking up Pringles. It's going to be great. And it's fucking A, dude. It's so wild. Like thinking is addictive. And like you said, like in a moment, you're, you know, just present, just focus on what's going on, not really having any thoughts. Like what you're left with is, you know, interacting with something that you're not so sure about. Like if you're not so sure about yourself, then there isn't anything telling you that there's anything separate at all. And it's funny how you can like feel that way or be locked in or just like, you know, that you're interacting with yourself for a sec. And then a thought comes up and then it's like, it pulls so quick because it's like something will come up and then it's like, oh, I can figure that out if I just keep thinking about it. I can figure it out within this. And I'm like pointing to my head. I know it's not my head, but like I can figure this out if I just keep thinking about it. And it's like the littlest sort of blip, but realizing that's a part of it. And it's just like the mechanism of that process that we fucking the addiction was curated, like growing up. Like it was, we were injected every single day. It's like we were fucking injected, dude, for 20 years, 25 years with thought being purposeful, being beneficial, being what does it, being what guarantees things, being what gives you control and certainty. They literally like flick, flick, here you go. Every day, like multiple times a day. And so no wonder, you know, we keep running back to it. But when you start to, you know, understand that a little bit more and realize like, no, the initial one, like the recognition, whatever it is, like those will come and go, but there isn't a solve in there. Then you can get, here I go. I was going to say you can get better at doing it. And that's not, it's not something getting better at. Fucking become a professional, like fucking thought policing, not take seriously. I am, I've gotten better at not being addicted to this thing. Who has exactly? And all of these mechanisms of distraction or of value or of thing that it's going to do something or get you somewhere, like the fleeting sort of thought. And then it's like you hold in it, like going underwater, and that for it can go for fucking like hours, it can go for days, it can go for weeks, it can go for years, it can go for lifetimes, it can go for spans of lifetimes. Like just having your head under the water thinking that that's gonna do something, come up for a moment of air, like up here, no one's, everyone's there. Oh, that must be the thing. Oh, and is this okay? Whatever. And then it's like you dive back to it. And it's weird. It's like fucking weird. Not just like not focusing on the thoughts or thinking there's going to be anything there. It's very much like, but I want to know, like, I want to know how this is going right now. So I want to think about something. And then it's like, you know, certain habitual ones come back or habitual pulls. As soon as it something sticks, then it like fucks you back in or weighs you down. And I know I'm doing my best to describe that just, it's just paying attention. It's just not making so many assumptions. There's certain component that then factor, or like, how long can you pay attention? Is it for a second? Is it for 2 seconds? And that's not something you can measure. It's fucking Eckhart Tolle being like, oh, I can, you know, not think for 7 minutes. All right, there's going to be the back and forth of that. Because like you were saying, like on spectrum, as that intelligence is expressed more, it's not, you know, valuing yourself for it. It's not so much thinking that it means something. Because as soon as you pick a point, it's like, as long as I stay in this spot of intelligence, then I'm good. But you're going to keep fucking fluctuating, go, and that's gaining more context, because it isn't about being on this, you know, intelligent. That's something that fucking 200 IQ crazy motherfucker video I saw the other day. So I'm not going to say anyway, but I was thinking about it.
Nice. Well done. No, that's it's like I said, it's counterintuitive. Like, we really just don't trust ourselves. That's all it is. Like, we really just don't trust that we're already learning at the capacity that we can learn. that's all it is. You know, we want to think about it. We want to get in the way. We want to actually, you know, go, no, hold on. If I just beat myself up a little, I might be able to squeeze another like 5-10% performance out of myself. It's like, no, because you just lost 5-10% performance and taking that room to judge yourself, because you were doing just fine up until then. Isn't that funny? And it's like, we're going through life, we're living, we're learning, we're experiencing things in the present, and our brain's absorbing all of this information. This is why children learn way faster than adults. Why? Because they're not thinking about themselves as much. They're just taking it in. Why do you think it's easier to teach children before like 5 or 6 years old a second language? Right? Because they're not thinking about themselves. They're not holding on to the language that defined them. There's less of them in the way. They're just going through the process. And as such, learning like a motherfucker, like the most advanced computer system on the planet, in fact. Because that's exactly what we are. But we don't think of ourselves that way. We judge ourselves according to whether or not we got a D in high school science. Right? Like that is in any way a measure of our intelligence or our ability. Wouldn't it be interesting if there was a way to actually go through high school and measure not just how the children are doing in terms of their grades, but how much they're judging themselves and thinking about themselves in conjunction with those grades? Wouldn't it be interesting to actually have a correlative study that shows how children who are being graded through the years actually develop a certain way of thinking about themselves consistently? Watch their stress level, watch their egotism, watch their need to judge. All of that shit would go through the fucking roof. And it's because we're thinking about ourselves more than what we're learning. We're worried about how we're going to be perceived by the children around us in class more than we're worried about what we're learning on the board. We're worried about how the teacher perceives us more than we're worried about what we're learning. Right? All of it is just this giant blind spot that is this idea of ourselves. Like our value is somehow determined by any one thing that's happening at any one time because, you know, that's the only place that we exist. Within a frame. And that's the thing. It's not easy to recognize at first that it's not hard. We want it to be hard. We want it to be hard because it gives us the justification to continue thinking about a solution. It gives us the reason to continue thinking about a way to make it easy. But in recognizing that it's just what it is. It's just what it is until you start thinking about yourself. That's when you really just start realizing that you are the process. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to do. You know, just be here. Enjoy your life. You know, that's why I remember I used to joke with you that when I first started getting the presence thing, I would sit and I would try to meditate. And it would be like, okay, I'm present. I'm present. Am I present? Fuck. Because as soon as I'm wondering how I'm doing, I'm not here anymore. As soon as there's an I, fucked. And that was the practice. This is why Wing Chun changed my life so very much, is because it's very hard in the middle of a drill to start thinking about your progress without there being a consequence pretty much immediately.
Holy fuck. Like it's that sensitive. To it, like, how am I doing right now? How is this going right now? As soon as you're doing that, it's you're out of it. And I can imagine with Wing Chun, like, as you're, you know, doing all the stuff that I don't quite know yet. And I'm hoping to go later today. They're a little iffy about going, start showing up to a group class. They want the initial.
Man, lesson. I'm going to see you on Thursday. I'll give you a lesson.
I know. Yeah. No, we'll get into plenty of that this weekend. But I can only imagine because there's like such a comfortable familiarity with thinking about yourself and you know, checking in with yourself. How am I doing? How am I doing now? How is this going? And like, there's no guarantee of any of that fucking shit ever. And shout out to the Virginia Beach mini retreat. Let's fucking go. That's gonna be so much fun, especially like, yeah, it's so funny. Like, Jesus, I feel like we've been on this call for 12 hours, like from the start of this call to the end. And so that's gets me very excited for this weekend, because for anyone who's been to a retreat, they don't feel like the amount of time that they are. Like, they feel like weeks, months, years. You don't even know because you're not checking in so much. You're not checking in so goddamn much, because that kind of, I don't know, like allows us to be, it's like be aware of, of not what's happening right now. It's like you're aware of right now. You're not so focused on the awareness of how right now is going or how you're doing right now. Because that's not awareness. That's not even awareness. It's like it's assumption. That's what that like. Yeah, it's just assumption. The awareness of how things are going isn't awareness. There is no awareness outside of this right now, right here, right now. This is awareness. And things, you know, things pop up, but it's getting that, seeing it, and that's it. It's like, okay, oh, cool. Awareness right now. And like, holy fuck, how much, like, no, but I want to know how this is going. I want this. I want that. And like, dude, fucking the things I want, how I want my life to be for anyone, like, and myself, definitely, like the I want. I would like, according to what, like, which, you know, which fleeting sort of thing have you run with and then locked in and solidified, guarantee, yada, yada, yada. And then it's like you start to build a life around that, around false certainty, just around false certainty. And it's not to say that it has a way of unraveling, I think. And it's not always the, you know, immediacy of, you know, right, having the fleeting thought and then being like, all right, I just had 10, got to do them all by what time? Give me 4 hours, 5 p.m. today, all gone. It's like, it's there. You already saw it. You looked at it. Awareness there. Or, and then as you're more, cause like when you're more aware of what's going on, and I say more aware, it's like, nah, it's just like being aware. It's not more, it's not less. It's not like you're more aware or less aware. You can play that out another, you know, spectrum, but you're just aware, like all that crazy ass shit doesn't make as much sense. Like all that, you know, and that's why fucking morality, you know, morality, rules, laws, you know, what do I do now? What's the right thing to do now? It's like, that's immediately, you know, the fleeting thought, assumption, look around, run with it. It's not awareness and sensitivity at all. Cause when you're aware and sensitive, things just have a way of making sense. Cause you're just interacting with yourself. You know, that's all that it is. You don't get the hit of like, oh, I did the right thing. It's like you did the thing that made the most sense and that's it. It's just, again, that it's just more or less sense. That's all. It's not right or wrong. It's not good or bad. It's just like, you know, fucking stabbing that dude in the face doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now. It just doesn't, unless you're very, very sure of a lot of assumptions and a guarantee. And it's like, it doesn't, most of the sort of habitual gut instinct, whatever things, like, don't make so much sense unless you're holding on to a lot of assumptions and certainties and guarantees. And so when those things aren't there as much, it's like, you know, you go to a habitual thing and you're like, oh, wait a second, hold on. And it just, there's like a no, all right. Oh, that is the case, maybe. And again, like with working out, I probably had a thought about that fucking a year ago. And it wasn't until very recently. And then, you know, there's, like you were saying before with the judgment and when you went to the forest, is like you become more aware of yourself and like why you do things. It's seeing, again, like we were saying before, everyone on a spectrum, and like any judgment is just carryover from, it's like, I want to know that I'm doing the right thing now because I let this thing go. And so I got to then, and it's like, you're still not doing the right thing. Awareness, attention, awareness, sensitivity. And then that you're not so able to, it's harder to judge when you're being aware.
Yeah, because you know that as soon as you question the judgment, it fades. That's the wonderful part about awareness, right? You never settle on anything. So because you know, as soon as you do, it's just because you're not willing to be aware anymore, right? But you'll notice that this is why at the retreats, I don't get into the high-minded cerebral conversations very often. Like you'll almost notice me just kind of floating around doing my thing. And then if somebody's like, so Ray, I had a question, and you'll hear me kind of go, yeah, it's like, you know, we were doing fine right up until now. and that's more or less it, you know. And it's just because life is really, really simple, and you notice it at these retreats because I walk around with it like it's a fucking universe of my own, right? Because it is my universe, you know. I am my own weight. I just don't carry it, you know. I recognize it's there, and I make sure it's light as a feather, because that's really just how I perceive it. It just comes down to how I perceive it and how much I'm willing to hold on to it. When I'm scared of my idea of myself and all of the fears and pressures and suffering that goes with it, it's so much harder to deal with, and it becomes so much more important to escape it, so much more important to understand it and achieve enlightenment and, you know, non-duality, all that shit. But it's only because I'm terrified. I'm terrified of the fiction of myself instead of recognizing that it's an ever-changing thing that my brain must create in order to have a dualistic spectrum. My brain must create a fictional me in order to create a fictional reality. Otherwise, the entire process of comparison cannot happen because it cannot be based on the judgment that my brain must make. So as long as I'm here in duality, my brain's going to create a fictional me. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. You know, it just took me a long time to realize it wasn't actually me. It's just parts, perspectives, little clues. Like, hey, you wonder why you're thinking you might have been a douche there. Maybe ask yourself if you were being a little selfish there. You know? And that's it. We're like, I don't like how I feel. It's like, well, self-honesty will cure that right up.
Oh, man. Like, an actual self-honesty. And that is like, because it's moment to moment, but it's also, there's a lot built there too, you know, throughout, like I was saying, fucking daily hits of assumption, certainty, gain control. You got to get control, do this to get more control, do this to guarantee this thing. And so those have a way of playing out. And it's interesting how much, how quick, you know, like just now. Example, I was like, I had a track and then I lost it. And then immediately it's like, that's something I used to judge myself for so much. And there was this, like, I'm explaining what happened like 5 seconds ago for me. There was this gap where I was like, oh no, this is happening. And then, and it's this assumption that like, that was where I was going was the right way for it to go, or the guaranteed thing. And there have been times in my life where that would send me for fucking days or hours or years or fucking straight up years. And because it's this assumption that like, it means something about me. And in a moment you can realize that it doesn't, but there's a, you know, sort of habitual nature. Like I don't know if this is just assumption, but like reasons that, when that happens, when it's like, you probably, anyone watching or listening, appreciate y'all for watching and listening, but like, you probably can't even tell if there's something that pops up or comes up. And this was a big thing for me, even realizing, you know, because letting go of that, like I had some seriously strong ideas about myself before even, you know, posting on social media. Like I straight up had a narrative for my whole life, like up until this is 2020, like I'm not a confident person. I don't articulate things well. I can't speak well at all. Like that was, I forget how that lasted through. I was 25 and I hated my voice. I didn't like the way that I sounded. And so I had all of those assumptions. And so I never, you know, took the time to, you know, check back in on that. I was forced to record a call and like, you know, it just didn't go how I was assuming. And that was in that moment, that was a big narrative for me that like dropped. And then the next week I started posting on social media and then that was that, but it was like something I didn't want to even look at. 'Cause it's like familiar. It's this thing. It's a comfortable thing. It's my little buddy there. And I'm realizing we're a minute over time. But yeah. And so it's fascinating in those moments, because it may have been actually like right at time when I almost forgot what I was saying. And it's funny how like everything's kind of playing out like that. But
you'll notice that more and more. In my experience, you'll notice that more and more as you get out of the way. This is going to be a fun Patreon call right after this. I'm also looking forward to the Virginia Beach retreat, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm feeling like this one's going to be fun. anyway, we're going to adjourn here. Do remember that I am gone. I'm fucking off as of tomorrow morning. So I won't be around until after the Virginia Beach retreat, but we will be live streaming from there. And we're going to record an episode from there. So if you have any questions, submit them on Patreon. We'll try and get to them. If you can't attend the retreat yourself, of course. That said, I think we're actually going to record a commentary episode this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern time, which would be episode 3, The One Step Process. Maybe not 4 p.m. Eastern time.
We'll talk after.
Okay, we'll talk about it after. If you're wondering when it'll be, check out Discord or Patreon. But we'll talk to y'all soon.
Bye, everyone.